Prevailing Faith. Well, thank you, Darian, for praying for me. Thank all of you for the smiling faces out there, mostly. That's a wonderful thing. I've entitled this sermon, You Should Know. I'm thinking about what is the one thing that we should know, and what is the one a big idea that First John is trying to communicate to us. You should know. I want to start with this verse, short little verse in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, exclamation mark. And that is what we are. Trying to ruminate on that, I thought, well, let's just go through a different versions, because different versions are actually different translations or different interpretations, which we actually understand, we can learn from. So we're going to go to the NLT. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. The voice, this one you get on Bible Gateway, consider the kind of extravagant love the Father has lavished on us. He calls us children of God. It's true. We are his beloved children. The first part of that would probably get the sense of the actual words that was written in Greek. This consider. When it says see, it's like, think about such things. Consider it. Ponder this. First part of my sermon, I think this is what we want to just do today. Consider. Consider this. What is making you not agree with it? The ESV. See? See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Do we have the next one? Maybe not. Oh, it's just going slow. Yeah. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Home sharing, which is perfect, because I'm going to tell you a story. Pause that as they work on this. By the way, we're trying to work some of this out, and these wonderful people are working tirelessly in this way. So I'm going to tell you a story before we get into this first point. Story, I got to see my dad this week. So good. I don't get to see him very often, like once a year, if that. He lives in Ontario. As many of you know, I traveled to Ontario last week, and I was at our denominational conference. We had our annual general meeting, and then we went through some teaching time and learning experience on hermeneutics, which is like just a fancy word to say, how do we interpret the Bible? And so we all gathered together. There's almost 300 people there from across Canada, and we're asking those questions. How do we interpret the Bible together? What does this look like? Anyway, I had scheduled the week perfectly, so this is what happened. I was going to take the red-eye flight into Hamilton, so I was leaving Abbotsford at 10:30 at night on Sunday. I'm going to get into Hamilton, direct flight, 5:30 a.m. Now, just so you know, we're talking about finances. How do we get that guy to go? So we found out this on February last year. I heard about this conference. I'm like, I got to go. I checked out the Swoop flight. Yeah. We've only had good experiences with Sloop. With Sloop, yeah. Sloop dog. Guess what? Abbotsford to Hamilton, direct, both ways, with checked bags, and extra legroom during the red-eye flight was $315. Yeah, it's cheap. So this is what we try to do here. We try not to spend a lot of money. And I was like, okay, so it goes Swoop. So we're doing that. So I'm thinking I'm going to arrive there at 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to get my rental car. I'm going to be on the road at 6:15, 6:30 at the latest. I'm going to ride. Then I'm going to take my 45 minutes and get there while my dad's just finishing breakfast and be able to sit with him and hang out with him during that time and spend my time with my dad, who is now in a nursing home, who had a really serious fall 7 years ago and actually didn't recover. Super healthy guy. Well, as healthy as you can be at 72 at the time. fell, came out of his truck, hit his head. Then we in ICU for 10 days, had to work out a whole bunch of stuff. In the end, he's now in a nursing home 7 years later in the area that he grew up, which is really amazing because he knows all the guys and women that are in the nursing home. They know each other. But still can't walk and in a wheelchair, hard to get up and out and around, and is just losing his faculties a little bit. So all that, I'm like, there's a little bit of things I'm walking through, which many of you had walked through with ailing parents, but had it all planned out perfectly. And then after I visit my dad all Monday, then I'm going to whip up to Cobourg, which is east of Toronto, to visit my brother and hang out with him, and then whip back down to Niagara and hang out with my dad all day Tuesday and into the evening, and then hang out with some friends, and then get to the conference early Wednesday morning. Till Friday, catch a plane, come home on Saturday morning. Bob's your uncle. I have two Bob uncles, but you might. This is what happened, though. So in the midst of this, just so you know, my flight to Hamilton was delayed a little bit, but then we couldn't land in Hamilton. So it's like around 6:30, and we're coming down into, and I'm like, okay, I'm from that area. I'm like, this is like, are we going over, we're right over Lake Ontario, I'm thinking, which we're not, because there was so much fog, you couldn't even see the lights. You could see little things that looked like jellyfish almost. I'm like, we don't have jellyfish in Lake Ontario. What is going on here? And we're going down, 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 down. We get to about 200 feet, and all of a sudden, you look outside, and you can't see it, and the pilot just vroom, flies back up. Couldn't land because of fog. Then we circle that for about an hour, and then they go, we can't land in Hamilton. Let's go to Toronto, where we do not have a Swoop doesn't fly into Toronto. So they do emergency land in Toronto on that Monday morning. And all that being said is that then I had to figure out a way to get from Toronto now after I waited 2 hours for our bags. So now it's like 10:30, 10 o'clock. Got to figure out how to get from Toronto to Hamilton because they don't do one-ways anymore. Do you know that? It's really hard for people to do one-way rentals. And a certain company didn't do that. Why am I telling you all this? Because it's an interesting story. Plus, it was my life last week. So I take a train and two buses. And now I get to Hamilton to get my rental car. Not even joking. It was awesome. I waited about, it was 1 hour and 20. I was going to say hour 15. Let's say hour 20. Waited 1 hour and 20 in a line where amazing guys working really hard to give you a rental car. So now it's like 2 o'clock, and I'm just about to get my rental car. And I said, have you seen the movie Trains, Planes, and Automobiles? And he says, I don't think I have. I said, well, I don't want to be that person at the rental agency right now. And I jokingly said, anyway, if you haven't said it, the reference is Steve Martin goes off and freaks out. And he says, I have a car for you. And I said, great, you're doing great work. All of us are not angry right now because you're working really hard. Thank you. There's too many people that descended at that time. All that said, my whole day with my dad was shot. I was able to see him on Tuesday. Then I found out on Tuesday that my flight was delayed. Not delayed, but basically it was changed from Saturday to Sunday. So, good on Paul. Ruthann, thank you for allowing Paul to preach last week. And everyone else that jumped in here. So there's my travels to my dad. So guess what? I got to sit with my dad. After all of that, I'm like, okay, I want to sit with my dad for a time. And we went outside. And we went down. We're figuring this out. We went down stairs and sat outside with my dad. And I'm thinking, okay, I got this undivided attention all day Saturday. I got to hang out with my dad now. Saw him for a short time on Tuesday, then I'm sitting with my dad. And I'm like, okay, what can I do? What can I talk with him about? And as we're sitting there, in sometimes awkward silence, nothing is said at all, because you're just sitting there. Usually I'm trying to push through, because I usually don't like awkward silence. But then I was feeling in my spirit, just sit with your dad, be present with him. We sat there. I said, Dad, is there anything you want to say to me? Like, I'm just... Like, do you want to tell me to bring something back to the kids or say it? I'm not even joking like this. My dad says this. And I'll try to sound like my dad. I love you, Kevin. I'm like, so that I heard him, but I was like, pardon me? What do you say? Right? I'm 48. I still want that. He's like, I love you, Kevin. And I'm proud of you. Melt a 48-year-old's heart, right? I still can't get enough of those words. I love you, Kevin. I'm proud of you, son. I love you, Kevin. And I'm proud of you, son. Then I asked this question to my dad after I teared up a bit. And mind you, a whole bunch of emotions are going, right? Because I'm only get there once a year. I see him for a couple days. And there's all kinds of like guilt and shame because you're not there to help him and whatnot, all these different things. So there's a whole bunch of emotions welling up. But as he says it, I'm just like, I'm a bit of softy. I'm like crying. And then I said to him, Dad, not thinking that I'm going to be preaching on this week. I'm not doing this for to get a story, but I said, Dad, why do you love me? Right? It's a good question asked. He looks at me. And he says, and he has to have a bit of a slur in his speech now because of where he's at. He says, well, I love you because you're my son. And he's like, duh. I was like, oh. I love you because you're my son. Gulp. And I said, Dad, thanks for being my dad. I think we all need to hear Father's affection towards us, whether that's our own Father or whether that is our Heavenly Father. We all need to hear the Father's affection towards us. And if there's one thing you hear today, there's one thing that you should know today, is that we have a God that loves you. We have a God that loves you. Consider that. Consider that. We have a God who loves you. Those of us that have been around the church for a very long time, we can jump to Genesis 3 really quickly, where something went wrong. We know that. Sin entered the world and distorted things. But I think sometimes too quickly we forget that there's Genesis 1 and 2, where God has created human beings in his image. And God says, this is very good. So I think we need to jump to that conclusion. We don't need to jump to the fact that we jump to the shame and the sin and that part, I think, a little bit too quickly. And we need to get there. We'll all get there too. But I need us to consider, oh, there's my dad. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. We don't look like each other at all, do we? Yeah. Do you have control there at all or no? It's all back there? Okay. All right. Might be good to have the slide if we can. Can we do slides over there now? Anyone? Yeah? Oh, is someone there? Oh, someone is back there. Oh, my goodness. Okay. There's my dad. He's wearing that shirt, that hat. John 3:16, I love Jesus. Hardcore trucker all his life, but love Jesus. So I want you to know and consider this aspect. You are loved. It starts there. I have a good friend of mine that many of you know. I've known him for well over a decade. And it's not going to just date me, but it dates how old he's getting now. And he's written a song that caught my attention when I first read it. I first heard it. And I text him right away. I'm listening to your song. It's on repeat. I know you wrote it for a friend. But I really sense this song is something that we need to hear in the context that the Father would sing over us and to us. David, come on up. And David said, I think he said, maybe I was like, you're one of the first ones to say that. And I was like, well, if I'm one of the first ones to say it, I want you to sing it to our congregation in the context that you should know that you're loved by a God who sees you and loves you just because you're his child right now. So David's going to sing this song. Words will not be on the screen, but he's going to sing it. And David, I don't know if you want to say anything. You don't need to. Good. Thanks for doing this.
I'm bad at talking, that's why I write songs. I know it hurts right now. Can't see your way back out. Heart's full of fear and doubt. You wanna scream and shout. I know you're feeling scared. Feels like nobody's there. Heart's full of rips and tears. Feels like nobody cares. But you should know you're beautiful. You're more precious than diamonds and gold. Heaven's heart and an angel's soul. You should know, you should know. I wish that you could see how much you mean to me. May be hard to believe. You are a masterpiece. Yeah, you should know you're beautiful. You're more precious than diamonds and gold. Heaven's heart and an angel's soul. You should know, you should know. Oh, you should know you're beautiful. You're more precious than diamonds and gold. I love your heart, oh, I love you so. You should know, you should know. So please, please, don't let go. There's something you gotta know. There's something you gotta know. You should know. You're beautiful. You're more precious than diamonds and gold. Heaven's heart and an angel's soul. You should know. You should know. Oh, you should know. You're beautiful. You're more precious than diamonds and gold. I love your heart, oh, I love you so. You should know, you should know. I love you so, so you should know. I love you so, so you should know. I love you so, oh, you should know.
So good. You get that in the context of the Father's heart for you? You should know. Consider how great the love of the Father is. There's a quote here I found as I was prepping with this in a commentary. He says, when we feel like we are not good enough to be loved by God, we should remember that God's love is greater than our doubts. We must silence the sounds of condemnation so that we can hear the voice of God's loving assurance and remember that He has selected us to be part of His family. You should know. One of the things you could be working on this week is a 7-syllable prayer. Try this. Abba, which is another word for Father. Abba. I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. Or you could say, Daddy, I belong to you. Father, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. This will help you consider this lavish love that God has for you. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. What does this love look like? 1 John 3:16 says this. Oh, first of all, let's go back to your first note. Can we do, you are loved and you have value and worth, if you're following along. There's a slide. That first statement was, you are loved and you have value and worth. And what does this love look like, Jesus, God has for us through the person of Jesus? 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I would say that it's really hard to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters if you haven't understood your identity yourself. And it's an ongoing struggle in that way, understanding that God loves us so much. But it's my love for my family, my love for my brothers and sisters, my love for each of you that flows out of what God has gifted me with. And so we're reminded that Jesus didn't come to conquer the world with a sword, but he came to save it with a cross. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So coming back to Genesis 3, where sin entered the world, where we have chosen this over and above a love that God has given us, I believe it's a result of, because we maybe don't understand how truly we're loved. And then we go, in a sense, the popular song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. In all kinds of different ways. In relationships, in ways that we are, maybe it's not love, but maybe we haven't experienced this love. So then sin enters the world, it enters us, something's gone wrong, and then we lash out or we live in that way. That doesn't quite look like the image of God that he actually prepared, he actually created in us. So we have to come back to the fact that we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, like Julia mentioned earlier, but we have one that's been tested and tempted in every way, so that we can approach the throne of grace and find mercy and grace when we need it. So this is why we're actually able to come to Jesus, because of the great love of the Father has for us. And this is the love that we receive from God. We receive this forgiving love. We receive a love that takes our shame, takes our guilt. We have a love that stands in the gap between for us. We have a love that substitutes, that takes our place. This is the love that God reveals in the person of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to consider that as well. This is the type of love that God would come and reveal his love through the person of Jesus. This kind of love challenges us and changes us. It must. It challenges us and changes us. Would you allow this kind of love to challenge you and change us? Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. And here it talks about us learning and understanding this love, and we have to lay down our lives for other brothers and sisters. That's sometimes the hard part. So I'm going to say, let's start with this little practice here. Let's start by loving people just because they actually have value and worth, not because we're going to try to fix them. Let's start with the love that God shows us. Can we do that? Would that challenge us? That we would love people because they have value and worth, not just in order to fix them. We're going to trust that this love is going to have them learn and grow and change, right, over time, as it does in our own lives. But would we be so considering the love that the Father has for us, revealed in the person, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and that would change us to then live a life like Jesus has lived for us, to lay down our life for our friends, to live in a way that we want to love people that have value and worth and not just in order to fix them. There's a popular phrase among many churches And this is one that that I live, I want to live in and live by. This idea of come as you are. Billy Graham had this. Like, this is how so many of us have become followers of Jesus. Come as you are. And I don't know about you. Sometimes, after I've come as me are, I've come as I was and experienced the love of God and changed. And I would just say myself, this is maybe my own journey. Sometimes I expect some people that that if they if I would say come as you are, but maybe sometimes I want to insist that they change before they arrive. Right? That's my own world. I don't know if it touches any of yours. Anyway, I think that's part of loving people. We can't always tell them to come as they are, but insist that they change before they arrive. In your world, there's going to be people that are arriving in your world all the time, and they're not changed the way you want them to be. So now, how do we love? 1 John is full of big, big ideas, and we have a few more weeks to touch on that. But today, would you consider the love of the Father revealed to us through His Son, and would you consider this love that you've experienced and that you would love people the way they are right now because they have value and they have worth the same way God's loved you. We're going to move into a time of communion where that verse, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life. This is the picture of love. It's a picture of us, for those of us that have said yes to follow Jesus. It's a picture for those of us that don't even understand or don't have a clue yet. This is the picture of a table that is ready and willing to receive any and all. Would you be encouraged today to receive this body, receive this blood, as a reminder of the great lavish love that God's given you. So that now, I want to use this, it's giving you sustenance. It's giving you energy to do what? To go and do the same to those that are around you. And we won't do it perfectly, but by God's grace, may we do it faithfully. And when we mess up, could we ask for forgiveness? Because that's exactly what we do with God all the time. Would we be able to do that? So I want to encourage you that are going to lead communion today, Julian's and the Kirkhams to come on up. And on this side, we have our gluten-free over here. And on this side, and is the band coming up now, Julia? Okay. And on this side, we'll have our fully packed gluten. if this line is too long, come join us over here. So I want to use a liturgy that we've been using for a while now. This is the table, not of the church, but of God. It is to be made ready for those who love God and who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, but it is God. And it is God's will that you who want God should come and meet God here. So come.